Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I am super excited to bring you this one. It's with Grasslands Barbecue out of Hood River, Oregon. I sit down with owners Drew, Brendan, and Sam for an hour plus interview that talks all about their location, all about their backgrounds. This is fantastic. It's high on my list of places to visit, and I know that a lot of people want to visit them too. But I do know that if you haven't heard about them, once you hear about what they're putting out, the location, the creativity, you're going to want to visit. They're only about an hour east of Portland, but when you get there, you're in a different world. I don't want to make this intro too long because there's so much that we get into. I know you're thoroughly going to enjoy this. I'm so happy that the guys took the time to share their story and share all about what they're doing. So remember to stay safe and visit your local barbecue joint. How are you guys doing?
Good. Yeah. After it's hot here, a long hot day on the truck. Yeah, we're good.
What's hot for you guys?
Well, today wasn't too bad. I don't know. It's like high 80s.
Yeah, that's real hot. That's legitimately hot. I think
it's a little hot on the truck.
Has it seemed like it's because I don't know how long you guys have lived back in Oregon, or if we'll get your guys' backgrounds. But does it seem hotter up there now than it ever has? Like, do you guys have longer spells of heat?
Absolutely,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, it's what, mid May, and we're hitting like 90s relatively consistently. Looking at the incoming forecast is like 90, like it just dry, no wind, like it's uncomfortable.
Yeah,
but we haven't been down here for a super long time, but both he and I lived in Seattle forever, and like, you know, we had stretches of hot days, but nothing like this. And that was in like, you know, July and August, not May, not this early.
Yeah. So, does it last till you guys, like, is your October cooler there? Or
yeah, oh yeah, okay. September cools off, and then it's nice again. And it's honestly, I mean, it's like we get pops of super hot, and it'll hit 100. Close off at night. Unlike Texas, it gets cool at night.
Yeah, I'm in Los Angeles, and when it's hot, we have multiple hot days. There's not as much, there's not as many trees, and it, because there's so much concrete, it's the residual heat, like you could feel it, and then like the next morning sometimes, because, but we'll hit 100 for like a week or two, and it's just like, Death Valley. Yeah,
we're happy to not be in the city. And we got this giant river next to us that we can go jump into after service.
I saw that from your Instagram. Is that's right there?
Oh, yeah, it takes us 3 minutes to walk to the swimming part. We could get to the water in probably 2 minutes, but
jealous.
It's a giant park all along the waterfront right here.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, I want to get to your location, and I make everybody jealous about where you guys are, because it does. And I'll try to put photos. I'll put a photo too of that drone shot. Was that from one of you guys or one of your friends that took that?
Yeah, a buddy of ours that does some photography took that at our anniversary party a year ago.
That is just gorgeous. So that people know. So it's Drew, Sam, and Brendan.
Correct.
All right. So Drew, do you want to start, Drew, and then kind of orchestrator, or how do you want to? I want to get some introductions and learn a little bit more about your guys' background.
Yeah, so I'm from Oklahoma, Sam's from Texas, Brendan is from Wisconsin, and then Sam and I have known each other. We went to school together at the University of Oklahoma a long time ago.
Boomer
Center, and he's learned. And then Brendan and I met in Seattle and lived together in a house there, whatever, 5 years ago or something.
Yeah.
Personally, I grew up in Oklahoma, lived there through college, and then bounced around quite a bit in Dallas area for a while, and then Italy, California, and then the Northwest and Seattle, and that's where we met.
In Italy, were you working on a farm or working with olive oil? Or?
Yeah, I was working in kitchens for a long time. Brendan and I both, that's our background for like our entire adult lives.
Yeah,
I wanted to get out of it for a little bit, and I found this just crazy awesome opportunity on a farm in Tuscany, and went over there and worked on a farm and worked at the butcher, and we raised pigs and we cured all the meat, and we had a huge garden and olive trees, and I mean, it was total magical.
That's a great experience. Jeez.
And so I spent a year there doing that, and then ended up in Northern California after that, and then that was kind of my segue to being in the Northwest and never leaving.
So Sam, you don't have a food background, or do you have a food background?
No, I don't have a food background in the traditional sense. Like, these guys just always have enjoyed food and barbecue and stuff because I grew up in Texas, barbecue specifically. I have a brewing background.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, moved to Portland from Texas. So, Yeah, so college with Drew, and then moved back to Texas, lived in San Antonio for 4 years and did some stuff there. Moved to Portland in 2011, started working at a brewery, did that for almost a decade. And then when the pandemic happened for all of us.
Yeah, it seems like that's what
we all sort of, that's kind of when Grasslands started to be. Yeah, so that's, yeah, my background is not in food necessarily, though some people consider fermented food product, but
I think a lot of people do. Yeah.
Sam was brewing at this place in Portland, and I was working at a spot where we sold beer in Seattle, and then we reconnected during that time. And they were starting to distribute in Seattle, and we hadn't chatted in a long time.
Right.
And then reconnected and hung out, and then it was like, oh, we're all into the exact same stuff. And he came up for we like cooked some pigs in my backyard, and yeah, it was just kind of like a, I don't know, 10 years plus or something went by, and then we were friends again.
Oh, we still like each other.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And which is kind of shocking sometimes.
Yeah.
One of the first, or actually no, it was the first time I met Sam. Drew and I, so good. Drew and I were driving down to LA to pick up our first 500 gallon smoker. And so Seattle to Portland, and we spent the night at Sam's place in Portland. And the next day he was going to be smoking a whole hog, and he wanted help cutting the head off of this hog so it would fit in this box that we had.
And
so,
and he needed our cooler.
Yeah, yeah. He needed our, like, a big cooler that we had. So yeah, first time I met this guy, he's like, hey, can you help me cut the head off this hog? We're like, all right, I think I'm gonna like this guy. Yeah. He also gave me my first Pliny the Elder that night too.
Oh, nice.
Magical
the
night.
The stars align.
Yeah.
Well, I've been trying to get these guys together for a while, because Brendan and I were cooking together at home and for parties and stuff all the time. And then Sam and I were hanging out and talking about barbecue all the time. And it was just like, these things need to kind of come together. And that, yeah, that was just a kind of a perfect opportunity.
Did you have a hog box or something, or was it a hand?
No, pretty goofy. So here, since I'm from the fermented beverage industry, I'm familiar with these they're called like jumbo fruit boxes or something. I can't remember what they're called exactly, okay. But they're these 5 or 6 layer corrugated cardboard boxes that hold 300 gallons of, say, apple juice or pear juice or whatever that cider makers get and use to ferment their ciders or their berry. So I turned one of those into a one-time use. I'll say one-time use. I tried to use it twice, but it caught on fire.
Because it's cardboard.
But I did a 12-hour pig roast in it. I have some photos of that on my Instagram, actually. Pretty cool. It turned out really well.
It worked for one time.
Yeah.
You're doing a hog in a cardboard box.
Yeah. Well, I lined it with fire bricks and aluminum foil and aluminum, like actual ducting tape, not duct tape. And yeah, it worked the one time. But once I moved it and like tried to put it back up without touching it, I was going to cold smoke a fish in it. And I got a whole steelhead trout and processed that. I was going to do that. And while I was preheating the box, I was inside processing the fish, and my wife came in yelling like, your box is on fire. So that ruined that one.
I thought for sure you'd catch it on fire the first time, so yeah. At least you had it for one cook. And did the cook turn out?
Oh, it was great. Yeah, I had, I don't know, whatever the max amount of people allowed over in one place during COVID. I think it was 20 at the time. You were allowed to have 20 people gathered outdoors or something. I did that and fed a bunch of my friends.
Yeah,
that was a COVID
Halloween, October of 2020.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how many people don't know the years of COVID. Like, I've talked to people, because it's all kind of melded into one. So people think it's 2021 or 2019. Like, a lot of people think 2019 was the whole year of COVID, but I don't even think it was even, anyways. So then, Brendan, what kind of restaurant did you work at?
I kind of bopped around in Seattle for a long time. I don't know how familiar you are with Seattle restaurants, but I worked like 10 years or 11 years for Tom Douglas restaurants.
Mm-hmm. He had a pizza place, right?
Serious Pie.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I went to it once.
So, I never worked at Serious Pie, ate a lot of Serious Pie, but I worked at, a spot called Brave Horse Tavern, which was smack dab in the middle of the Amazon jungle in, you know, like Amazon, whatever.
The Amazon, not the
like Amazon, the business, the Amazon jungle down there.
I've heard of it.
But also at a Mexican spot called Cantina Lania.
Okay.
We did the original concept is all live fire cooking. Oh, so nice. There's no gas, no electric, anything. So we had a huge cinder block pit set up in different spots where we do cook on the coals, or we had a, thick, steel flat top. Yeah. And it was awesome. But the thing is, it was right downtown. So we're pumping out all of this smoke and we're right underneath this huge condo.
Slightly,
blasting smoke up to all these rich people's condos and everything. So we had to change, the concepts. But that was really sort of my first foray, other than camping, but first foray in the live fire and just falling in love with it, the arts, the science, the everything about it. So
that's nice to have.
It gave me a little bit of head start for cooking on an offset for sure.
So did you and Drew work at a restaurant ever together, or just knew each other?
We cooked together at home.
Yeah.
When we lived together.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You lived.
And then, that was for a year or so. And then my wife and I got a place, and then we would have 4th of July, we'd do a big crawfish boil, and then we started cooking whole pigs for that as well on this spit roast thing that we had. So we would do that. And then, I don't know, we catered this wedding together.
I did the food for his wedding.
Did the food for our wedding.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
But yeah, we would do that, but yeah, never professionally.
Did you drive the Harper? Was it a Harper pit that you guys got? Or
we got a fat stack the first
time. Fat stack, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so we got 500 fat stack, and yeah, we made the trip down there.
Were you guys already three together, or was it just so you could practice, or was that something?
No, that was, December of 2019, I had gotten obsessed with barbecue enough to put a deposit down on that smoker with no plan for all of this yet. And because there was quite a long lead time. It was 9 months or something.
Yeah.
So I did that. Well, then when COVID happened, that's when kind of all this kind of got kickstarted and started doing pop-ups and all those things. And we were cooking on two backyard char griller little, you fit two brisket on one smoker kind of thing. And so that smoker couldn't come fast enough. And it was end of October when we got that.
And we had that Eugene trip too.
And yeah, and we borrowed some smokers from some other people. So we were able to, we had a couple in the 250 gallon size that we were able to cook on for a little bit. But yeah, when we were able to go get that 500, that was pretty.
Did you connect at all with someone like Matt or anybody that cooked barbecue in your area?
Yeah, I did in fall of 2019. I took a trip down to Oregon. We were still living in Seattle at the time.
Oh, okay.
And that was Allie's birthday.
Yeah.
So Sam's wife was having a birthday party. So I came down and hung out with them, and then went and Holy Trinity was still going. That was when I met Kyle, and then hit up a couple other spots that were in Portland. And then there was a dude in Eugene doing pop-ups.
Was that Against the Grain guy, or was that?
Yeah. And he let us borrow his 250 when we were doing pop-ups. But yeah, that was the first time that I met anybody in the barbecue community out here. It was pretty great. I mean, it was a small community out here. It's nothing like Texas or anywhere in the South, obviously. But man, the people out here that are into barbecue, I mean, they're family to us. They're they're legit good friends of ours.
Tight-knit. Awesome. Yeah.
I can imagine. Barbecue is as a whole. Everybody's so open and we've made so many friends through the years, but it's so nice to have our little community out here, and everybody's so supportive, and we kind of all understand what it's like to try and do Texas style barbecue in a place where not everybody knows what it's like.
And
it's great. We're really, really fortunate out here.
It's really neat from my perspective, because I come from being a brewer in Portland for so long, and Portland was at times the beer city in the United States, and my friend base from doing that, how many people I met in that industry is an example of what I look at when seeing what Texas barbecue is like and what Pacific Northwest or West Coast, whatever barbecue could be like. There's room for growth for sure.
So are you saying that the beer community is a pretty tight-knit community too?
Oh, it is. Absolutely. Yeah,
because I thought it was. I didn't know if you were saying,
well, yeah, I mean, most of my friends that I, because I moved to Portland without knowing anyone, everybody I met was because I worked at a brewery, you know, and now like lifelong friends because of that.
The amount of people that come to the truck, and Sam knows, from brewing, it's ridiculous. We laugh about it all the time. It's just the con, like every, you know, 10, 15 minutes of something, it's like, oh, hey, bud, how you doing?
That's cool. No, that's a nice network. And I think that network of people are cool people. And they're kind of, they like you said, they remind me of the barbecue community.
It's similar. Very.
And they're looking for certain things. It's like special people that are special, and they know that there's like beer makers that are making, you know, just basic stuff. And then there's people that are really experimenting and trying. And so it's very similar. What was the moment that you guys thought, okay, the three of us, was it just more of a, not desperation, but you know, COVID was, you guys have lost jobs and stuff. Like, what was the moment that Grasslands was born? And then how did you come up with the name? It makes sense, but
So when it was pop-ups, it was Bootleg Barbecue.
And I remember that name.
That for, well, from April of 2020 till, so for about all of 2020, it was just pop-ups. And Brendan being in Seattle helped with all of them. And then Sam came up for some of them. And that was where it was like, okay, this is working. And people were coming and lining up. And it was like every one seemed to be a little bit bigger, and we started like, maybe this could actually be a thing. So yeah, over 2020, the three of us just kind of talked more and more about it. I mean, I remember talking to Sam on the phone, and we would just kind of talk about, like, I don't know. I felt like I was always baiting Sam, trying, because he was in between stuff with COVID too. And I was like, you know, putting this out there, like, we're going to move to Hood River and maybe we could do a thing together and we could barbecue. And so it really naturally all came together. And Brendan's same, like, you know, we were both sick of the city and ready to get out.
So sick of Seattle.
Well, I'm so sick of LA, so I know exactly. I know the feeling.
Great for the time that was there, but ready to be out of the city. And
why Hood River? Did you guys have connections in Hood River or something, or you just knew it was fun?
Hood River came about, my wife and I had been looking for a small town community to move to for a long time. And we found Hood River in 2019, just decided that's where we wanted to move to, long before we had a plan of what we were going to do. Then Sam was already super familiar with it. He had been out here a thousand times because we're only an hour east of Portland. So it just kind of worked. It was like, it's just a great town. The community's incredible here. And yeah, when Nikki and I came here, it was just like, game over. This is where we're moving. We don't want to be anywhere else.
It's beautiful too. I mean, the farms out here, we get a lot of our fresh produce in the summer, you know, when we can get it from local people, building the community of farmers and other restaurants and everything. Like,
it's special. We're spoiled. Special. There's no way to put into words like how magical this place is. It really, like,
is that where there's a place called the thing called the Fruit Loop or something? Or
Yeah. It's here.
I watch a lot of YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sprawling orchards.
It's absurd.
In the valley of the Cascade Mountains with two volcanoes on the south and the north of you. I mean, it's unreal. It's just and then a giant, one of the biggest rivers in the U.S. cutting right between it. Like,
10th biggest.
Yeah. 10th biggest. Is it the 10th?
And then in January of 21 or whatever, somewhere in winter, that time. At that point, I had rented a house that was in Snohomish, Washington, that was kind of in the middle of nowhere, which is out in the woods. And that's where we were making all of the food for all the pop-ups. And the living room had 7 refrigerators from Craigslist in it. And we made sausage in the kitchen. And it was like, it was just, the whole thing was a commissary kitchen, basically. So the three of us, and then my wife and Sam's wife, all got together for an entire weekend. And we spent the weekend at the house and talked about turning this into a real thing. And it was just great. The whole thing was like
so fun. Yeah, the conversations, what does it look like? What's it going to take? You know, building a business, basically.
And
we had all obviously thought a lot about it already, but it was the weekend that everything really started making sense, coming together.
And then life stuff too. Talking about, like, what are our priorities for for, you know, living sustainable lives.
And like, what's most important?
Yeah, exactly. And we were all on the same page with all this stuff. And that's where, like, to me, that's the special part about that whole weekend was it wasn't just, oh, this could be a successful, profitable business. It was like, this could be a thing that we could all be really happy doing.
Which is unique, which is something that a lot of people don't have. You also were uprooting your lives somewhere too, which was exciting and fun, but also, you know, it's a challenge.
Scary.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a convenient time
to do that. That's the real way to say it.
Everybody's lives were already uprooted, and so it was kind of the kick in the pants that...
Yeah, it was already weird, too.
Yeah.
Whose idea was the name Grasslands?
You're
used to naming beers and stuff, so you're...
Yeah, I don't know. It was just kind of one of those deals where there's the business side of it where you need to, you know, get a trademark and make sure that you're not, you know, naming your business something that already exists and all of that. But then there was the, like, well, what is... not pigeonholing us into like a 2-block radius or a region or whatever, not that we're trying to take over the US, but like, you know, but yeah. And then just, you know, on and on. I remember giving a pitch. I don't remember exactly all the details.
Well, I remember you saying something about like, you know, that's where all of the meat that we're cooking, like these are for the most part animals that they're living on grasslands, you know, like, the cattle, the pig, like they're eating the grasses and everything. And I mean, that was a huge seller for me. Also, it's like, it's not like a lot of barbecue spots are like aggressive, like, you know, badass manly names. And stuff. We didn't want to be that. Like, we're just three normal, I don't know, like chill dudes who like hang out. We're not aggressive at all. Like, we're all beta males. So.
Okay, four of us.
Think of it, it was like we're all from areas that were grasslands. Austin is a, you know, Central Texas is a grassland.
Mm-hmm. You know, Plains of Oklahoma,
Memphis,
Plains,
yeah,
you know, Midwest,
Dallas, Fort Worth,
familiar area to us.
And they're all so grasslands as a whole. As you know, people start worrying about the earth, are so important. Aquifers and aquifer recharge zones and everything. You know, just all of that stuff. Grasslands dependent, and I don't know, it sounds like a good name too.
It's a vibe too.
It's a stretch.
It was hard. It took us a long time to, because it's just like, just choosing something is so many reasons not to, and coming up with stuff, it was like, once we got it, we were like, great, let's do it. We love this.
Yeah.
Let's move on to cooking barbecue again.
Because it's so permanent, you know?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it's something you keep forever. Yeah. What are you guys drinking right now? Just because I'm curious.
What are we drinking?
Yeah, what are you drinking at the moment? That way, maybe give a shout out.
That's topical.
Ferment beers from our friends at the at Ferment Brewing, which is where we're parked right next to. We're using their office right now to do this because we're in a truck because the truck is 100 degrees on the inside of it right now. And they have AC in here.
No, I appreciate it. No, because I thought we would be doing this outside. And I was like, this is potentially.
We kind of wanted to, but it's too loud.
Yeah, no, it's always too loud. It sucks. I love it. I love outside. It's really cool. But, you know, the wind or whatever could cause problems.
Well, if we were outside right now, you'd hear like bald eagles screaming.
Other cool. Yeah. Stuff. I mean, literally a week ago, I was over here at their office and we walk outside. I mean, 20 feet behind us is the river. And we walk outside and a bald eagle does come down. Like, right now, we're just scouting these ducks down there. I mean, we see it's stupid how crazy this place is.
That's amazing. Well, then that's also ideal, too. I want to get to it, like, to your location a little bit more. But for people to, if they're coming into Portland or they're in the general area, to make a side trip out to you guys and just enjoy life for a few days and enjoy something different. I think it's everyone's so stuck in there.
That's what we're trying to kind of get out there, because we're not in the city. You know, you can't just go to Portland and like take a Uber to us. But at the same time, we're only an hour east of Portland. And what, 56 minutes for you?
59
minutes from Sam's house.
Yeah.
You get on one highway. You parallel the Columbia River the entire way. You go through the Cascade Mountains, the National Scenic Route, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a drop-dead gorgeous drive. And then when you get here, we're at the base of Mount Hood, We're on the Columbia River. There's this beautiful water park or waterfront park right next to us. And then we've got Ferment Brewing, we have Freem Brewing, we have some other great neighbors with some restaurants down here. There's all this space, and it's just like, I mean, it's a really great place to be. And, you know, again, back to the, like, we live in the Northwest and not everybody's super familiar with barbecue and making an entire experience out of it and going and waiting in line and all that stuff. But we do feel like we're in an area where we can try and help perpetuate that, because you can come out here. Also, in Hood River, there's no law against open containers. So you can just have beers wherever you want in town, in the entire city.
Wait a second, are you serious?
Yes. Yeah, no, it's great. And so, like, we have this huge grass lawn in front of us, and you can just get cans of beers from the breweries and bring them over there, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be in, like, this licensed sectioned area and whatever. Anyways, it's a great place to go make a trip to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can kind of, there's so many other things.
Are there any little hotels or bed and breakfasts or?
Tons.
Plenty.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, downtown's, like, you know, adorable, and brick buildings and cool renovated hotels. And then there's, on the outskirts, there's, you know, a Best Western and a Holiday Inn and all the things. I mean, it's just, they're really, like,
and not far from the airport.
Yeah, 45 minutes from the airport.
Is that, well, PDX? Is that, not? Is that
PDX?
I've seen it on ticket.
You talked about the Fruit Loop. We're talking about breweries. There's world-class wineries
too.
Like, oh yeah, that's true.
Whatever you're into, mostly can be had here.
Yeah, the wine is really, I mean, this is a really special wine growing region out here.
Where is Willamette Valley? Is that more on the west side? Is that, or would they consider it? It's kind of like goes down to Eugene or something. I don't know. I was trying to figure it out.
Yeah, so I learned this when I moved to Portland, but I got corrected several times, but it's the Willamette, damn it.
No, you should be, well, like, you should hear me mispronounce Texas names. Like, yeah. I butchered the shit out of it. Okay. Yeah. Willamette. Yeah, okay. Wow, thank you for telling me now before I move up there.
That's a separate area from where we are. That's, what?
That's about an hour south of Portland.
Okay.
In general, I mean, obviously it's a large area. Yeah, that is becoming the new, like, hot wine growing region in the U.S., I think. But we have, so what happens here is it's the Columbia River Gorge. And so in Washington, which is on the north side of the river, you know, there's cliffs that get X kind of sun. And then on the south, you know, on the south side and the Oregon side, they get Y kind of sun. And so there are all these different varieties of grapes that grow here pretty well and get, like, little special treatments depending on, like, river bends and stuff.
Yeah.
Not unlike stuff in Germany on the Rhine, you know, so it's just kind of a cool little magical place.
Just like a thousand little tiny ecosystems.
Yeah.
Because of all the hills. Yeah. An hour or every mile east of the mountains that you go, you lose an inch in annual rainfall. And so,
okay,
where we are, which is probably 20 miles east of the edge of the Cascades, it is a drastic difference from right over there. I mean, when Sam drives out here, it's like
rainforest, basically.
Yeah, just pouring rain in Cascade Locks, and then it'll be dry here. And then you go further east of where we are, and then you get to desert,
right? Yeah.
30, 45 minutes.
Yeah. And it's high desert, like high elevation desert. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Completely
that's
different than you know, West Texas or New Mexico or Arizona, Eastern California, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a different desert scape.
Wow. That's killer. Is that the area that wants to secede from Oregon?
It is. Yeah. They want to become part of Idaho.
Idaho.
Yeah. Like, it's like, super Eastern Oregon and Washington. They just want to become like greater Idaho or something. Yeah. Stupid.
I don't think that'll happen. Can you guys see then Washington? Is that across the river? Is that?
Oh yeah. Brennan and I live in Washington.
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I mean, I live in Hood River and White Salmon. The river is Oregon. White Salmon is Washington. I can be to work in 7 minutes. And I live on the Washington side.
A bridge?
It's just one bridge, and it's just kind of like, it's a little hub.
Okay.
And then he's in Lyle, which is 15 minutes.
Don't dox me, bro. I'm just kidding. So for me, it's like a 20-minute drive
to
work, and I'm on the Washington side. But
Lyle-bama.
But it is. It's a completely different ecosystem from where Drew lives. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's.
Oh, I'll text him and be like, "Is it windy over there?"
Yeah, right. What's the temp? I mean, look, it's funny. Like on forecast, like where I am, you know, like I said, 20-minute drive to work, but I'm on the other side of the river, and you right. know, 15 miles east. There's like usually a 6, 7, 8 degree difference. Or there's sun, or it's sunnier where I live as opposed to where I work. You know, like it's absurd.
It's crazy
out here.
Wow, that's weird. So then you're in Portland. You're actually living in Portland.
Yeah, I still live in Portland.
I'm not gonna put this on this, but is Portland on fire?
Like, no, man. No,
put this on there. Portland is not on fire.
That was not crazy.
Fine.
I was anticipating this question.
Yeah. I just wanted to say it. I was like, I had heard something recently.
Portland's obviously the poster boy for a lot of stuff, but Portland as a city, if you're a normal human, is fine right now. And actually, you know, like a lot of cities have Los Angeles, Seattle, whatever. A lot of cities have a homeless.
Yeah, right. Seattle's crazy. Yeah, I have a friend lives up there. Yeah.
So yes, that does exist.
Austin too. But
it's the same as any big city.
Yeah,
it's totally blown out of proportion.
Yeah,
especially if the weather is livable outside. If you can live outside.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's great. Yeah,
like Buffalo doesn't have like a big homeless issue problem, problem because you're right. They all die. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I came from Texas, and I'm not a huge fan of the, you know, 100+ degree heat, and I love it in Portland. The summer that we moved, my wife and I moved from San Antonio, 2011, I think it still holds the record for the number of days in a row that it was above 100 at like 64.
Wow.
In a row. Yeah,
I think we've had 28 days or something here, which was just,
it was nuts.
You just want to crawl away. Yeah, everything starts, the grid starts to die because things. But then also too, I remember getting off the plane in Portland and driving to wherever we were, maybe to the hotel, and looking outside and seeing moss on.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, there's moss on the ground, right? Like that's how much rain they're getting here.
You don't drive your car, like if you have a, you know, fun car, a motorcycle that's outside or something, you don't drive it for a month. Moss is on it.
That's amazing. That's crazy. Okay. So you're all, So now I know kind of where you guys are at. How did you guys formulate your menu? What was your menu at the beginning when you're doing pop-ups there?
The beginning was just a pretty typical offering. Brisket. We've always made our sausage.
Pulled pork.
Cause sorry, Dana Vaughn, but everybody buys it and it pays the rent.
Yeah.
But I would say, you know, we're very proud of our pulled pork at the same time. We use this really cool Cajun tasso rub on there, and it gives a lot of depth and spice to it. And
Brendan makes an awesome sauce for the sandwiches.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we sell the sandwiches. It's this thing we always joke about that because it's like 1:30, 2 o'clock hits, and it's like, can we get some pulled pork sandwiches going for y'all? It's what everybody orders. But then we'll eat the sandwich for quality control, and it is a damn good sandwich.
Yeah, it's a good pulled pork sandwich is awesome.
Yeah. We pull all of our stuff to order. We leave the butts whole and don't pull off until someone orders from it. And
well, that's the way you do it. Yeah.
We've never done a lot of pork ribs, mostly just space. And then also, you know, we all have valued our sustainable livelihoods and don't want to do a 2 a.m. rib shift. And so we do ribs every once in a while.
Get it now.
Oh, and chicken, yeah. Mm-hmm. We do stew boneless, skinless thighs. Honestly, I mean, we brine them and marinate them, and it's what we eat the most of.
Are they blackened or something, or have like some kind of black rub on it or something?
We do a blackened seasoning on like we'll do game hens and stuff, and we do that on there. For these ones, we just do hot sauce and olive oil and bunch of black pepper, and then brine them in allspice and bay leaves,
What made you guys want to do sausage from scratch at the beginning?
Because it's fun, it's cool, we like doing it.
Yeah.
No, but who knew how to do it? Was it because from Italy, or how did you?
I'd made a bunch of sausage previously. I got to help open this restaurant in Dallas called Lucia. James Beard finalist right now, actually, incredible restaurant. Chef Dave there is just
an unbelievable chef. And we made a bunch of sausage there. We did all of our, all the cured meats that we served there were all made in house. And it's just a phenomenal place to learn. And so I had experience from that. And then in Italy, making a bunch of sausage and also more like cured meats and stuff. And then Brendan had made a bunch of sausage at all the restaurants that he worked at, which is about 20 more than what he listed. But but yeah, and then one of the first times Sam and I cooked together, we made andouille in my backyard, and it's just fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's a fun way to do barbecue and serve a meat product, but be able to
play.
Experiment. And,
Just how many flavors and different fun things you can just pack into like one little, like, you know, third of a pound link is just blast. Like we're talking the cheeseburger sausage that we're talking about doing.
Yeah.
Like, throwing actual pickles in there. Like, will this work? I don't know. Let's try.
Figure it out. Well, plus just like the, you know, running a business side of it, we have
trim.
You know, obviously everybody knows, you know, but we have meat that we need to use for something, and it makes sense to make sausages out of it.
Yeah.
And sustainability is important for you guys too. Huge. So it's all kind of goes. Yeah.
We don't waste, much. Yeah. We don't. Yeah.
Maybe like last week we had a couple orders of mac and cheese, and we took it up to our friends at the brewery.
Right.
But that's a big thing we pride ourselves on. It's like, we try to have our model of our business be where we don't waste anything. And it's taken a while to, you know, we have to educate people that that's how, why we works and why we sell out of food at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock or whatever.
As you guys were progressing towards doing what you're doing, did you guys say, like, formulate a specific menu that you thought might work for the region? Or is that, or are you guys always seasonal? Like, what, I know because you guys come from restaurant backgrounds and then also because of brewing, your menu makes sense to me, but what was the...
I mean, these guys can probably speak to it better than I can, but to answer your question, it wasn't like a regionality or a seasonality thing. It was more of a space limiting, you know, being on a truck, having a smoker, having two fryer baskets on the truck, having, you know, X amount of cold storage and things like that. That's kind of where... And it wasn't like, it's not like we sat down and penciled out, like, here's what we're going to do. And here's it was, you know, it took a minute.
Yeah. Well, we did farmers markets when we first moved here because we were still waiting on our truck to be built. And so from March to June, middle of June, we only did farmers markets and pop-ups because we didn't have the truck. And so that kind of helped because that was like all of us were doing all the food and everything. And so the menu definitely kind of, we'd like
coalesced a little.
Yeah. And figure, you know, farmer's market, well, we're open early. So we like did some breakfast stuff. So it definitely kind of came together for that. That was also limiting because we had even less ways of serving.
Oh, yeah.
You know, under a tent and was a couple tables.
Less storage. And
we were having to do breakfast items.
And we're doing breakfast. Yeah. Yeah. I don't miss the pop-ups.
Were those at farmer's markets in Oregon or in Seattle?
In Hood River, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we moved here in February, March of 2021. Basically, within a couple of weeks, we did our first pop-up and then started doing the markets because, like everything, because we thought our truck was going to be ready way sooner and then it was delayed. So then we did the farmer's market for a little bit, which ended up being so perfect because we were able to meet all the farmers that we buy. I mean, in the summer,
that's true.
75% of our produce from local farms. Yeah, we were able to like meet some of these people and develop relationships with them and serve our food to them. And so, I mean, the menu honestly has always just been kind of natural. Like it's never been let's do this. This is our cost on this. And so we're going to run this menu.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think with us having a bit of a background of just kind of roughly knowing what we can do and what things cost.
Yeah, that helps.
Margins and stuff, we were able to, you know, I mean, most of the time we just cook whatever we want to, just in the ass, and then we're like, why did we do this?
Of course. But doing the farmers market's great because I was thinking about the fact that people that go to farmers markets are people that like to stroll and buy food from places and wait like a little bit of line. Like it's already built in, whereas they're not coming to you and then waiting in line. It's already, they're at a farmer's market. So that's, and then they eventually probably started coming specifically for you, and then they can get other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got some of that. Same, it was nice. And you know, the people also that go to farmers markets are the people that, you know, I mean, I don't want to generalize, but that care about where their food comes from, that care about local quality stuff, which is basically like what our, like what we want to put out there, like the people that we want to, you know, pop knob
with. Yeah, and barbecue's not cheap, so you know, you need people to really care about what they want.
Our plan B on naming was local quality stuff barbecue.
Woke barbecue.
Case in point, like, you know, when we were, the first summer we only had our 500 gallon smoker, and we, one of the things we put on there was the pork belly burn-ins that we do now, and we put that on the menu because we smoke the bellies ahead of time and then chill them and cut them up and then chuck them in the deep fryer. And so we were able to cook the bellies before the smoker was full of brisket and have product that we could serve throughout the week. Shout out Woodshop Barbecue, where I worked in Seattle, because they taught me that method. I don't want
to. Oh, you worked at Woodshop?
Yeah, for 3 months. I was going to work there in 2020, and then COVID happened. And I can't say enough about Matt Davis, the owner of Woodshop, is just, he was the most supportive and encouraging person I've, for us getting started, to have someone you work for 3 months.
That's nice to know.
To tell you to do this thing, even if it's the same exact same thing that he's doing, it meant the world to me. So
that's huge.
Yeah, I learned a bunch there, and they're great people. And but anyways, that's, we got that that method from them, and then fast forward, we started doing it because it was the only way we had have product, and it's now, like, besides brisket, maybe the most popular thing on our menu item. We make this like ginger soy vinaigrette that we toss them in after they come out of the fryer, and it's kind of just it brightens it up. And
it looks pretty too. It looks cool.
Yeah, they're awesome. I mean, we don't eat them ever because it's so rich.
I'll eat one a service.
Like one little,
it's a rich thing.
Try a nibble, but it's so, I don't know how people eat pork belly so much. It's so rich.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the things that I hear that there's two things on our menu that I hear people come back like, oh man, like this thing, like, I wasn't expecting that. And it's the pork belly burn-ins and the Tex-Mex slaw that we do, just because people have an idea of what it's going to be, and then it's completely different. So it's pretty cool to see that.
Mm-hmm. What's in the Tex-Mex slaw?
Slaw is, well, credit to Sam for the name, because it just works. And what? Is that Sam's name? No, right. Sorry, that was Sam's.
I love Brandon.
Green cabbage, kale, and shredded carrots. And then...
Wait, say that again. I was talking over you. I apologize.
Green cabbage, kale, and shredded carrots. And then we make we just call it black chili vinaigrette, but basically we just burn a bunch of dried chilies, kind of like a salsa matcha, and mix that with rice vinegar and garlic and sugar.
And some other stuff. It's a secret.
Lime juice.
And then, so that's the dressing. And then we put cotija and toasted pumpkin seeds on top and pickle reds. Because why not? But yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's bitter from the burnt chilies, and it's got a little bit of sweetness and a lot of acidity. And it's very much not...
coleslaw.
It's not a creamy, you know, like heavy slaw. It's like bright, acidic, which works great for like fatty meats.
Yeah,
we like it a lot. It's the only side that we always serve now.
Yeah,
we had enough people that staple. Were pissed when we didn't have it on the menu. So,
oh really?
We have the slaw, and then everything else rotates.
How many pits do you guys have now?
We have that 500 still, and then we got 1,000 from Harper last. A year ago. Yeah.
That's why I thought you had a Harper. Okay. So you have a Harper and then you have a Fast Side.
Yeah. Yeah. The Harper, man, we love that pit.
Beautiful.
We're spoiled. It's cool to like buy a West, like a smoker from a West Coast company, and then have it just be so. It's not just like, oh, we're happy we're supporting someone from the West Coast. It's just like, I mean, he could hang with the best of them.
So. Yeah, Drew is like, and it's, so it's interesting that I still feel like they're a sleeper company. I feel like not everyone, I guess, because the big guys in Texas, people just know their names.
Yeah, right. I mean, Heritage has like four of them.
When did you guys hook up with the brewery for that location?
The brewery, well, that just kind of fell into our lap. We were able to, we didn't know where we were going to put the truck when we got the truck. We've done a lot of things where we're just like, let's hope this works out.
It seems like it. It's cool. It's good.
Well, actually, like, we were Hood River was obviously the goal, and there were options for maybe across the river or whatever. But I came out to do, this is really cool. I like the story, and I want to say this guy's name on here. But I drove out to scout, and I was like, this is the place. I don't know if it'll be possible for us. We don't even exist yet. And so Ferment Brewing that we're parked behind, I just went up to get a beer. This insanely beautiful grass field is there. And so I was like, hey, do food trucks park here in the summer? And the guy that was working, this guy named Jose, who still works here, was like, oh yeah, food trucks come around, like, here, yeah, just email. And then, so we did. And then, I don't know, months and months later, you know, when we get the truck in place, I come up and Jose was like, oh, hey, Sam, and like remembered my name and everything. Wow. And yeah, it was great.
I didn't know that story.
Yeah. No, it was incredible.
That's a big deal. Like, I can't, like, I'm terrible at names. That's smart. And actually, it's like a great business thing too, if you can remember people's names or connection wise.
Sam's the king of that.
Oh, good for you.
People will come up to the truck, and it'll be 4 months before they come back, and they've been once, and he's like, "Hey, Jerry, how you doing?" Brandon and I joke about it all the time. It's just, it's crazy how good he is at it.
So then with that, then that's the connection. Then it just works, and serendipitously, it just happened.
Yeah, we reached out to the property management group, and our buddy Aaron, who owns the pizza restaurant that's here at the waterfront, also helped us out a ton when we were first moving here, and was just really welcoming and put us in touch with the building. And
that's Solstice Pizza.
Yeah, shout out to Solstice.
Yeah. It just worked. We had a little bit of like our Instagram resume, you know, that I think can help. So when trying to get our truck that doesn't exist to be at a great place, it just worked out. And now, yeah, I mean, we couldn't ask for a better place.
But what do they do with the grass field right now? Like, what is it like when
they water it and keep it beautiful?
Yeah. That's all. What would it have done? Like, just been there for people to hang out on?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's just
I love that.
A really nice grass area for people to set up blankets, and there's some picnic tables. And I think this year they're going to try and build out a little bit of shade. But Ferment's like, I mean, they have a big giant open patio outside upstairs, and so you can take our food up there.
Oh, cool.
And get beers from them. You can also get beers from them and bring them down to the lawn and eat out in the field. And it just works. I mean, and it's right as you enter the waterfront, and so everybody drives right by it. And I mean, it's just been a really great place to try and start a business, and we couldn't ask for better neighbors. I mean,
they're great.
They help us out in so many ways, and they're just good people to see on a daily basis. Yeah. And
we're Saturdays and Sundays currently.
Oh, you are Sundays too. Okay. I don't know why I thought, okay. So it's Saturdays and Sundays. Okay.
Yeah. And then in the heat of the summer, in the bulk of the series, we're Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay. All right. Shows what I know. So right now you are Saturdays and Sundays.
Right. Yeah.
Ah, okay, cool. So does that make the most sense too for the brewery too? Is that their, when they have the most people, or
it's just the waterfront is like, it's just really busy down here on the weekends, and during the week it's just not as much.
Yeah.
And for us, I mean, if we were, you know, if we were serving food that didn't take 16 hours to cook,
right,
then maybe we'd be open more days. But to do all of that work, and then, I mean, we still work Tuesday through Sunday just to be open for,
of course,
you know, it works for us. We're able to, for the most part, I mean, it's just three of us, we don't have any employees, and we really dialed it back. Sam and I both had kids last year, and so a big priority for us was to really dial in the hours so we can be at home. And we've been able to make it work. And, you know, none of us really want to work more days. I mean, it's so much work already.
Oh, yeah.
Days of service.
Well, and it doesn't make sense at a certain point to have a Wednesday service with what, like leftover reheated stuff or like a super limited, you know, so we're not going to do that.
Yeah. And Fridays are kind of our day. Once we do those, we can do more like sandwich specials and fun stuff when we're not getting crushed on brisket.
Yeah.
Because we don't do brisket on Fridays. When we add those, we got to have one day where we don't have to.
Yeah, no, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Are you guys opening? Do you go open at 11?
11:30.
And are people lined up prior?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Depends on the day. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. It's kind of a goofy deal where, you know, 11:14, there might be one or two people there. And then by 11:15, there's six. And then by 11:25, there's 30. You know,
yeah.
Everybody just kind of shows up. They know to get there before 11:30, but there's not quite the, you know, Franklin's barbecue thing.
Although sometime, I mean, just last Saturday, people got there at 9:30 or something and waited in line. But it's cool. What's awesome to see is that people are starting to embrace the idea of it. And so they come with lawn chairs and they come with beaters and they come with friends. And like, they just decide, hey, we're going to go to this beautiful place and we're gonna hang out in a nice area
and make it a thing.
And there's so much to do here, and it's fun to see that, because that's our hope.
Yeah,
to come out here. I mean, we love our people that come. I don't know how they eat barbecue every week, god bless them, but
well, it's once a week.
Well, yeah, and we get the people who are windsurfing for 4 hours out on the river burning crazy calories, and they come and put down 3 pounds of brisket.
Yeah, they're starving. Do people kiteboard there too?
It's the windsurfing capital of the world, I believe. So I have some friends who
so interesting.
They were into the windsurfing in San Diego and moved up, and it's one of those deals where, because we're in this gorge, the wind is always like correct. It's always, you know, going in the right direction. It's very reliable. And so people come from, you know, British Columbia, California, whatever, and stay here and do windsurfing if it's not super cold.
Wow. So are you guys open from, is it from May to, or March? I know it was an M month, right?
Like March. December.
March to the week before Christmas, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So last year we were open until the 17th of December, and then closed for all of January, all of February, and then reopened at the beginning of March. But that's the other thing, is like, it's just not worth it to be, it's not worth it to be open in those months. Gives us a nice long break after going hard in the summer, and it's cold and snowing, and
my drive is dangerous. His drive is
dangerous. I mean, the highway.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Down in the middle of the winter sometimes, and it's just not worth it.
Well, yeah, and there aren't as many people here. I mean, I forget what the exact numbers are, like the way that the population in Hood River like goes up over summer, but it like,
they say 8,000. There's 8,000 to 9,000 residents in Hood River, and it goes up to 40,000 in the summer. Here for like those 3 months of the summer. It's insane.
Are you guys collabing on stuff, or are you guys making your own beer?
All the collab beers have been super cool, and they're all come from Sam's brewing background. And
are you guys making your own beer sometimes, or?
Well, in a way, I mean, we don't have a brewery. Yeah, it started with the Ferment one. You know, they were going to be our landlords. Our truck was going to, you know, in a way, they were our landlord. Our truck was going to be right behind the brewery. You know, literally 30 feet to the door of the brewery or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, started talking to them and our other friend, my friend Charlie, like he sells malt. Started an email. He was trying to sell malt and also connect, you know, the breweries together. So we did a collab with them. And then it was just like, we should do this and make weekends out of it and, you know, take the truck to population centers and let those people get tastes of our product, you know, let them know we exist, et cetera. And so we started doing one. We decided to do one at Ruse Brewing in Portland. Our friends Sean and Devin own this fantastic brewery there. We do that like every Halloween weekend. So we make a beer with them. You know, we kind of beforehand, we design a beer, go down, make it together. And then when it's ready and is being released, take the truck and the smoker there and do a whole weekend at their place.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, we have a busy weekend in Portland. They have a busier weekend than normal in late October. So it's kind of a win-win deal. And then same after our break, up in Holy Mountain,
in Seattle.
So we do that. We drive up there.
That's where we did the bulk of the like bootleg pop-ups were at Holy Mountain.
Okay.
And we've known them for a long time, and they're just fantastic people and have been so supportive from the very beginning. Nice. And that was honestly, I mean, I don't know, personally, to get to do this kind of thing with them. I mean, these are all of these places we're talking about. These are world-class breweries. And to get to be on the same ticket as them and to get to work together with them is just, it's an honor. It's really, and for clarification, when Sam talks about how these beers and stuff come together, Brendan and I go and hang out and drink beers while the brewing is happening. And we pick up bags of grain and we dump them into a mill and take a photo. And then Sam sends all these emails and talks recipe development and all this stuff that we don't understand, mm-hmm. and then explains it to us every time we do this. And then we remember like one more piece each time. But that's the cool part about it is that like, they're true collaborations because of Sam. Like yeah. It's not just, oh, Grasslands guys are friends with Holy Mountain guys. And so Holy Mountain made a beer and put our name on it. And
exactly.
The last Holy Mountain beer, it must've been 20 emails back and forth discussing all of the recipe and all the ideas and all these things, and from people who are genuinely like excited about how the end product, and then it all comes out and then we have a party, and then it's like, but it's a real, it's so fun to taste these things.
Yeah How fun is it? I was gonna say, how fun is it to taste that beer after all awesome. That yeah,
and they're all brewed with the intent of being served with barbecue.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, we don't do like some big smoked stout because no one wants to drink that with brisket.
Right.
But we, you know, lighter pilsners and lagers and dark lagers. And I mean, the Holy Mountain one had dandelions
and peppercorns. Like,
which of course you expected. but then also too, didn't you guys kind of orchestrate some dishes to use beer in them at all, or like a sauce with beer, or
a little bit? So we've got a couple things coming up that we should talk about actually
this Saturday.
I'll go in reverse. So this Saturday we're going to be at Freem Family Brewers. They're also right here by us. They're about 200-300 yards away from our truck. They're world-class too. We're going to their barrel aging facility where they have like, you know, fooders and just giant barrel things and cool ships where they do wild beers, all this really rad, awesome stuff in this big facility in this little town community called Cascade Locks, which is 15 and a half minutes west of here. And so we're driving the truck over there. We're doing a big event on Saturday with them. We didn't make a beer with them this time, but we did make sausages with their beer, and we're going to smoke them with old barrel staves. We're doing that tomorrow. We made the sausages already, but we're going to smoke them tomorrow.
That's cool.
So we're doing a Kossakreiner sausage, which is like an Austrian street food sausage.
Oh, nice.
Kind of bratwursty and stuffed with Swiss Emmental cheese. And then we put a bunch of their lager in there with it. And yeah, and then they just brought us, they just drove the forklift down with a bunch of barrels the other day, and Sam cut them in half, and then we're just going to smoke all of this, cold smoke them with the barrels. When the barrels are, they're old wine barrels.
So we got a couple different kinds. There were a few old bourbon barrels that are charred inside, 53 gallon. They were charred inside, then used to age tequila. And then these guys got them and aged a mole chocolate stout inside of it. And so we're going to
get. Then we're just going to burn them.
Yeah, we're going to burn them. And then we also got some French oak barrels that had red wine in them. I don't know what type. And then they made like a Flanders red wild ale in it. Which is just, we opened those up. They smelled so amazing.
Yeah.
We're doing that. None of that flavor profile stuff will transfer.
But it's fun.
It's still fun. And I hate you guys. I really hate you guys. Cause it just sounds like, I want to be doing this. Like this, it just sounds so creative and you can do so many different things. And it sounds like you're connecting with people that are all creative types too.
That's the best part about all of it, is that we literally, when we do these events, whether it's the brew day or the actual event, we just get to go hang out with like-minded people.
Yeah.
It's community. It's, you know, it like we do this because it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, we can somehow turn these things like this into our job and our work days. And, you know, it's just, it's fun to get to do. And the people that are involved with all these things are just amazing.
Yeah,
the other thing we have coming up, and actually this is May 17th. I don't know when this podcast is going to drop for everybody, but yeah, yesterday, May 16th, we made a beer. I'm not going to say what. I don't know if the brewery wants to announce it yet or anything, or if they have or not, but made a beer with Grand Fur Brewing, which is our friends Whitney Burnside and Doug Adams. They opened a brewery. They just got some awards in Oregon.
In Boston, Portland.
It's in Portland. So we made a beer with them yesterday. We're going to release that beer June 20th?
21st.
June 21st.
21st, we're going to go out to their restaurant and do a big old just fun barbecue menu. Use their kitchen and serve a bunch of food and release the beer.
Yeah.
That's cool. Will it be called Grasslands? Or
it'll be like a, you know, it's always like a Grasslands by whatever brewery.
Gotcha.
Kind of, you know.
But yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Again, same thing. Just like, I mean, Whitney's just, I don't know, one of the best brewers in the state, and just getting to work with them. And yeah, Doug's all top chef famous, but most importantly, just an awesome guy. And
from Texas, love
from Texas. Too. Yeah, wow. Sam's for a long time, and we've been talking about doing this for a long time. It's just fun shit to do.
Yeah, fun shit to do. No, it just, you talking about all these breweries and stuff makes me so much even more excited to because I know it's the hub, and I know there's other places now that make there's tons of places that make beer, but it just, I forgot about how great that scene was in Oregon and how important it is.
Yeah, I mean, we forget often too, and we're so spoiled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's special. Yeah, I gotta, yeah, definitely riches.
Well, I wanted to, and what's your favorite thing on your menu? Or what would be, or like ideal platter or ideal meal that you guys could recommend to somebody if they came?
I mean, I would always get a sausage, like, well, I don't know, a couple slices of lean, a sausage, slaw. If we're doing the spuds, get the spuds.
Chicken's a sleeper that we always tell people.
Good.
I mean, generally the specials. I mean, that's why most people, you know, like, but. Specials, like, especially now that stuff is growing again. I mean, it's way too much work, but
he means vegetables and stuff.
Yeah, vegetables. Yeah. Like, we get, you know, we'll get a fresh sheet from farmers on Monday and figure out what we can buy, and then figure out what we're going to make with it and how much we're going to buy, and then try and turn that into something by the weekend. Which is, you know, challenging, but it's, I mean, the produce here, we talked about this when we moved here. We were excited because of the opportunity just to get to work with local farmers and not just, you know, buy from the big producers or whatever. But we didn't realize that it was actually going to be just this unbelievably quality food. And I mean, the produce is the best we've ever worked with. And we're constantly, and everybody here, because they're all people of their craft, they're just getting better and better and better every year. But the growing region that we're in is really, we keep talking about it, but it's just unbelievable. And it's the produce we get,
parallel stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that like, is Hudson Valley? No, Hudson Valley is not that. So it just reminds me of people talking about Hudson Valley and how
I don't know what parallel you were there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just a perfect ecosystem. It just seems like it's at a bunch of microclimates and
And everything grows here. Even if the windows are short, like we get all of the stuff, and we're stubborn, and so like we won't serve corn until corn's in season,
right?
Even though like
tomatoes,
I want to eat esquites like year round, but we wait till the sweet corn is ready. And same thing with tomatoes. Yeah, we won't serve tomatoes until they're ready, but then it's all tomatoes all the time. All we're doing is cutting tomatoes and like trying to squeeze in trimming brisket around just cutting tomatoes.
And this guy we have, Killer Tomato Guy.
Yeah.
Evan is his name. A Killer Tomato Guy's his Instagram handle. He is doing a really good job. Like we love the tomatoes.
He's dynamite.
Yeah.
Is he out of your area or is he up in Portland?
No, they're all here. That's like
all there. Jesus.
The quality stuff. We're right where it is. I mean, we half the time we have to drive to the farm because we're also a dumb barbecue truck and we order like 9 pounds of something that's not worth them driving down to deliver to us.
You have to go. Yeah.
You know, but we can drive 20 minutes and see our friends and pick up stuff from them and
go on a farm and it's that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's, you'll see it when you come out here, but it's
special. No, it's funny because like I mentioned to Drew, there's been a number of people that have said, I want to go to Grasslands. Like even Evan Leroy, the interview I just put out today, he was listing a bunch of places and Grasslands was one of his places he wants to visit. It's because people are seeing what you're doing. It's special. And I'm glad we finally got a chance to talk. I know your schedules have been weird. Mine has been even weirder. So is there anything that we haven't touched on? Cause we're getting close to almost an hour and a half, but is there something that you want people to know about what you do that we haven't covered or?
I mean, I don't know. We're just out here trying.
We're all pretty good at sports.
Yeah. Is there a sports team in the area?
No, we're just
not really.
I'm joking. Yeah. So, do you guys, are you good at frisbee golf?
Oh, yeah. These guys are real good. Yeah. I try. we do play disc golf.
Yeah, you know what's disc funny golf, is I love disc golf, and I moved out here not really knowing that it was like one of the windiest places in the world. So it's like, it's tough going sometimes. Yeah, you're out there at 20 mile an hour winds trying to, how are you supposed to chip?
Yeah.
You know, 20 mile an hour winds with a frisbee. Yeah. But I don't know, I make the most of it.
Whatever. Yeah.
Speaking of wind, we would love to invite any and all barbecue people out here to come
absolutely
in the summer wind.
Yeah.
And get a taste of what that's like, because it is very challenging at times.
Yeah. Yeah, unique challenge.
Mm-hmm. You want to invite them to come out and help you cook or watch you cook?
Yeah. Hey. Well, and just, but we've also, yeah, I mean, like, well, Scotty from Scotty's Whole Hog came out.
Oh, cool.
Anniversary party. And we went to Charleston in November for Holy Smokes and got to meet a bunch of people out there. And
well, that's cool.
Yeah. So we're just trying to get everybody to come out here and experience how awesome it is and cook with us and hang out and do the thing.
Yeah, I guess that's more connection. We thirst for more, you know, like what Texas has. And
yeah, we don't get to just drive an hour and go check out all the places can do. And so
come on, bring it on, or invite us to their things or whatever.
Yeah, just more connection. Yeah,
Rambling, but you know, yeah.
This is great.
Right. We'll see you up here soon.
Excellent. Yeah, I'll see you in probably 8 weeks or so.
Okay. Let us know.
Awesome. All right, cool. I will let you on for sure. All right, have a good one.
All right, take care, man.
Thanks, Kevin.
See ya.